Hello and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 75. And Andrew, we are here. Selection Sunday has arrived. The KU team has a tough draw. How you doing tonight, Andrew?
Pretty good, Kevin. I don't like the tone of your voice. I know it's a tough draw, but hey, somebody's got to win these games. Might as well be us.
Okay.
Specifically, somebody's got to beat Kentucky. Might as well be us.
Okay.
But there's a lot of teams in front of us before that would even possibly take place. And some interesting matchups, particularly one that could possibly happen in round number two that everyone in this great state of Kansas is anticipating one way or the other. So this is a big week. Right, Kevin? This is one of the more fun weeks of the year, for better or for worse, whether your team is in it or not, or whether your team goes home early, which we saw last year, but we will not see this year. So there will be some of us who will be watching games at home. Some of us will be watching games in Las Vegas, like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And other folks will be watching on Thursday and Friday in the friendly confines of their office. So I understand that before we get started on this podcast, you just have a couple tips for folks on how to watch games while you're also being 100% productive at work.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, and across the country, they say that the Thursday and Friday of the first round of the tournament is one of the least productive days as far as American workers, as everyone is watching their brackets and checking the games and watching games on their computers and stuff like that. So, Andrew, this is the first year I've ever had where I had to do that because I've always worked for myself. So I didn't have, you know, like an office setting necessarily that I could set my schedule around KU things. I can't do that anymore. So this is the first time I really had to like think about these things. So I worked really hard to come up with some ideas. And of course, I think the real answer is take it off. Like take off that day, take off that time, whatever you could do. Get away from
just
the office.
Just recognize that it's a holiday.
It is a holiday. Take it off.
Plan ahead.
That's what we've done for ever since we've been working. So first of all, that's our number one recommendation. But if you cannot do that, and you have the power to, make sure you set a calendar meeting. You got to block that time off. Don't let anyone make any meetings during that time. You all have Outlook. Go out there and set a time. You got to, you know, whatever. You got to work on a special project. Don't let anybody set a meeting during the KU game. But now we got to the point where we're sitting in front of our computer. You got to try to get the watch ESPN thing if that's an option. But now, Andrew, that we're on to the tournament games, no more ESPN. So what are you going to do? They have these little apps now you can download on these little iPads and computers and phones and things. You can actually watch the games from any spot without a TV. So try to get that going. Let's say you got that far now. Now, here's the real issue. You're sitting in your little cube or whatever. You got your boss walking by and things like that. You got to start making some real choices here. And what we recommend is, first of all, get a screen cover. A couple years ago, they came out with that one that had like a boss button. Did you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Where you click. I don't know if the boss button will be there. So you got to have your own boss button if not. And otherwise, maybe the number one rule, and this is the one that I would definitely struggle with, and I actually did on Thursday, you got to control your outbursts. that's the real struggle.
I think that's it. That's key.
That is absolute key, because if you're sitting there, you got the whole thing, you got, you know, the boss button, you got everything all set up to watch the game all surreptitiously in your office, and then you just, what the hell, you know, or you scream in excitement, that's going to give it away. So keep those things in mind, just a few tips from us to you, but ideally, just take it off. It's a holiday.
I think you're right. So we've got a lot to talk about, Kevin. So we're going to initially just spend a few minutes on the Big 12 championship. I think it was a fun weekend. One half of basketball didn't go our way. But otherwise, we've got a couple takeaways from that. Just going to spend a few brief moments on that. Then we're going to talk about, obviously, the bracket for a good portion of the podcast. Both KU stuff and maybe a couple other little notes or little nuggets elsewhere on the bracket. And then we're going to have a guest His name is Mark Rudy from he's a sports reporter for the Las Cruces Sun News. And he is more knowledgeable about New Mexico State than we are. So we're going to get into that with him for just a few minutes. So if you need your knowledge about, you know, scouting the opponent, Mr. Rudy will have us covered. Kevin, let's just get started. Let's go right into it. Let's talk about the Big 12 tournament just for a few minutes.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs. Dollar signs.
All right, as you know, we made it through the first two games, TCU and Baylor. Cruised through the Baylor game thinking, okay, we're in good shape here, coming up with Iowa State. Obviously, that first half was beautiful, and then things unraveled a little bit. I don't know about you, Andrew, but I didn't really take a whole lot from that loss. Part of it, I didn't think it really mattered for our seeding. Maybe that was part of it. But I don't know. I didn't get so fired up about it that maybe I would have otherwise. What about you?
Yeah. And I think that it didn't matter for the seeding. You know, I think that we were going to be a two in the Midwest no matter what. And that if we were going to change anything from being that two Midwest spot, things would have to happen around us, not necessarily with us. So I think that there's some truth to that. Would have liked to have won.
Right.
Would have been fun, but I think there's a couple things we can take away, positives, and let me know if you're thinking the same thing here, is that Wayne Seldon's got a little more confidence, at least on the offensive end. I think we've been waiting all year. Oh, he had a little peak in February, but really has struggled since then, and I think we've been waiting all year for this kind of Wayne Seldon. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's nice to see him finally break out a little bit and, you know, lead the team, and we need that from him. He actually was finishing layups, Andrew. Did you see that? He was actually finishing around the rim.
If he can do that, then
oh my goodness,
be pretty dangerous. Another thing, and this is take this with a grain of salt. I think that we can trust the bench a little bit more, only because they're getting a little more seasoned. You know, Hunter's getting more minutes. Landon is being asked to play a lead role on this team, and I think that he's, you know, taking that in stride and making improvements every game. So I think Landon and Hunter, Jamari, I think, is struggling. But, you know, this is Jamari's junior year, his fourth year here. I think that he'll step up in the tournament. And if you remember last year, maybe other than Connor Frankie, if Jamari Traylor was the best player on the floor for our two games of the tournament.
Yeah, you're right. He was pretty good, but he's been absolutely terrible the last few games. And Hunter Mickelson, every minute he's had, he's looked really good. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see some more Hunter minutes if we get in that spot. We didn't see him much against Iowa State. I thought it was maybe a mistake. I kind of wanted to see him a little more. But I agree.
One other positive thing. I think Kelly Oubre finally realized that he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He had a great game against TCU and played well in the other two games. But it's fun to see him develop, especially from where he was in November, in December, and honestly, even early February to where he is now. He's definitely come a long way, and I think he's going to be asked a lot in this tournament coming up, just because he may be the most skilled player on the floor.
Yep, and he's the best scorer on the floor, and we need scoring. That is probably the biggest problem with this team right now. The defense has been there, except for in the second half of Iowa State. But overall, the defense has been awesome. But man, we go through droughts, and we went through a huge drought in that second half against Iowa State. Would have been nice to shoot better than 23% from the field. We're going to need someone to step up. It's good to see Wayne do that, but I think Kelly's going to be a big part of that as well.
Yeah, and Perry too. You know, Perry's been injured. It's not necessarily a negative thing, but something to take away is that for us to be 100% successful and operate on all cylinders, Perry has to be our go-to guy. And, you know, just to take a couple negative things away, you know, we've had a tendency this season to get big leads and then blow them. If you remember the Oklahoma game, if you remember the Utah game, just so happens we lost this one against Iowa State this past weekend. And obviously the offense is struggling a little bit. And let's do this now. So we need to get out of this rut, out of this slump, Kevin, right? And we want to do our part to help out offensively.
You're talking about the three-point shooting slump?
I'm talking about the offensive slump, but the three-point shooting slump because we love three-pointers.
Mm,
so I just did a little Google search, as you know, when people are having problems, they self-diagnose, right?
Sure.
WebMD. Sure. This is WebMD for our offensive shooting woes, our three-point shooting woes. So, got a couple steps that we can take to make this go away, to make this February three-point shooting extravaganza come back for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
First one, relax.
Okay.
So everybody here, let's just take a deep breath in, deep breath out, just relax. This suggests doing yoga or Pilates or meditation. Well, let's not do that.
We're not gonna do that.
Let's just relax. Let's just relax. Chill. Maybe okay. Listen to some
like Alanis Morissette.
I was gonna say Drake. Maybe okay. Listen to some Drake to relax, because they're probably gonna listen to Drake anyway. But yeah, let's go with our Drake mix and just relax. All right, next one. Find inspiration.
Mm.
So what we can do here, maybe go back and watch tape of Jeff Boshi.
Okay.
Maybe even go watch tape of Brandon Green from February 1st.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just watch and watch how pretty it is. And
find
some
inspiration.
Watch how different it is from Brandon Green's shot now to what it was before. Find inspiration. Maybe some Jeff Boshi. Maybe some Tyrell Reed. Maybe some Ben McLemore from a couple of years ago. Let's just watch that pretty shot. Watch it go in, most importantly. All right, third thing for us to do. I'm going to close it out with this. Get excited.
Okay.
Get excited about making these three-pointers again. Let's identify what the problem is. They're not going in. And let's get jacked up for when that changes. So just realize if we do get out of this slump, we're going to be pretty tough to deal with going forward. Do you think this will work?
I think we did our part. I mean, okay. We did everything we could. Okay. I feel pretty good, though. I mean, we're due. We are absolutely okay. Due.
So just relax, find inspiration, get excited, get jacked.
I like it.
Okay, I want to talk brackets.
All right. Well, Andrew, before we do that, but I just want to say one thing. Let's close out this Big 12 thing. Some people, it's weird. I think a lot of KU fans feel like we're limping into the tournament. And then other people feel like, you know, wow, we kind of learned a lot really in the past week or so going into the tournament. And I'm kind of in the latter group. I know we're limping as far as some health issues with Perry and Landon's beat up a little bit and Frank's beat up a little bit. But I actually think the last week, like dating back to the Oklahoma game, I actually feel better about this team. And I may be alone here. I might be on the ledge, but I guess the reasoning is that we're playing really well on defense, really, really, really well. I mean, one of the best defenses in the country, except for that second half of the Iowa State game. You play like that, you're going to be in every single game, and that's reassuring. And then the other thing is just nice. It's nice to see Wayne emerging. It's nice to see that Kelly Oubre is being a good offensive player. It's nice to see Perry hopefully getting back. And I don't know, part of me just feels like it all might come together at the right time. And maybe I'm just being positive. It's usually not my, you know, not me, but I'm feeling pretty good about this KU team. Maybe better than I have most of the year dating back to, you know, back to February.
I think so too. And you and I had a conversation earlier regarding, you know, what you look for going into the tournament. And you had, what did you say? Three things you said:
momentum,
health, and
luck.
And luck. Okay, so momentum, you know, I think that there is some momentum there. Whether that concept exists as a real basketball factor, I think there's something there. I mean, playing really well defensively, obviously offensively, leaves more to be desired. Health, got some time to get healthy. Perry, you know, played some minutes. He's going to get himself even more straightened out by then. And then luck, you know, this is a team that's, you know, won those close games, you know, those gritty find a way games, as Bill Self said. And I think that bodes well, incredibly, on that end. So brackets,
let's do it.
Brackets.
All right, Andrew, pulling out my bracket here, printed it off. Did you know that Kentucky's a one seed?
Really?
Yeah. How about that? Oh, they're the one seed in our bracket.
Yeah. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I was really pissed about it when I started thinking that it was going to be a possibility, and then I just became resigned to the fact that it was happening. So I wasn't surprised at all. So I guess I'm not upset anymore. And I think the reason I got there was because, if we make it to the Elite Eight this year, we're playing with house money. And if we beat Kentucky, how awesome would that be? And if we lose to Kentucky in the Elite Eight, I mean, it's a pretty good season. So I don't know. I guess I got to the point where I just felt like, if we get to the Elite Eight and play Kentucky, that's a pretty good run. And we make it there, you got nothing to lose. I mean, that's kind of nice.
And you know what? Yeah, this is my thought, and I said this earlier. Somebody's got to beat Kentucky. Might as well be us. I don't want someone else stealing that glory of getting that victory over Kentucky. That should be our glory. You know, comeback season. You started off the season losing by them to, I don't remember the score. I remember that part. And comeback season, we've got them down once. We've got the scout down. But it would be a lot of fun if we made it that far. And I think that we were kind of destined for this position. And even if we were moved down to a 3 seed, Notre Dame would have likely gotten the 2, and we would have gotten the 3, likely in the Midwest. So we were kind of stuck in this position anyway. You know what? You deal with the road ahead. But let's not talk about Kentucky anymore, because there's a lot ahead of us. Even before that, the first game we play on Friday is against the 15 seed New Mexico State. And we will talk with Mark Rudy a little bit later about this team. But initial thoughts, Kevin, on New Mexico State. What do you know about them?
I know what I've Googled in the past half an hour, and that's that their KenPom is somewhere, I think it's like 88, which is better than like 15 other teams in the field, which is crazy if you think about it. They're a 15 seed, and their KenPom is 15 or better than 15 other teams in the field. You start doing the math and realize there's some 13 and 12 seeds that KenPom thinks they're better than. So I think will be interesting to hear what Mark thinks about the seeding. Sounds to me like they should be maybe a little higher than a 15, but I do feel like KU should win the game. This might be, if you think about it, you look on paper, the teams that KU has been playing all season, you can pretty much just say that KU has been averaging playing a 4 seed all season. Like, think about it. I mean, just the caliber of teams that we've played all season, like 4 or 5 seed, has basically been who we've been playing all season. So we're playing a 13 or 14 or 15. Yeah, that's probably going to be one of our easier games of the year on paper. So I'm not too torn up about it, but I guess we'll see. What about you?
And on paper, I do agree. I mean, they've got an 88 KenPom rank, and we usually play those top 50 teams, at least in the past several months. I do think that it's not going to be a blowout. I think they've got some length, and they've got some zone stuff that's going to give us a little bit of trouble. But I think that we're going to emerge victorious. I don't see an upset coming there, but I think it will be a pretty good game. Just to move on, and this is a knock on wood situation. We don't want to talk a little bit about what's going on ahead of the road to jinx anything. We're not trying to do that, but it's hard not to with the potential Wichita State-Indiana matchup that could come in the second round. A lot of people are thinking the committee's playing a little game with KU by putting Wichita State as a 7 when everyone thought they would be, as high as a 3 or a 4. KenPom, I think they're ranked 14th, which makes them a very suspicious 7 seed. Some people are weirded out by that. Some people are upset about that. I'm not. I'm kind of excited about it either way.
I think I'm in maybe one of the other categories. I saw you and several other people were kind of excited. It's kind of like a lose-lose situation. Well, not lose-lose. It's obviously we could win and it's all good, but you're put in that situation where, like, what's the worst possible outcome for Kansas this year to other than losing in the first round? And that would be to lose to Wichita State. As we would never hear the end of it. It's just kind of, I guess that's my only kind of.
It's an opportunity, concern. Kevin. It's an opportunity to show that you're the better team.
That's fine.
It's an opportunity to put the whole thing to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it on the basketball court. And just, okay, this is my argument against people who are saying, well, KU doesn't schedule Wichita State. They're finally getting a chance. KU doesn't schedule them. If anyone wants to complain about KU's scheduling, they just need to look. And I think it was Matt Norlander, friend of the podcast, tweet. And actually, I think it was Jesse Newell as well, tweeted out this same statistic that KU played the hardest schedule in 10 years this year.
Yeah.
You can't fault us for scheduling, for making the hardest schedule in 10 years, just because it doesn't include one team. We make sacrifices for, having a tough schedule. We can't accommodate absolutely everything. So if you want to complain about KU's scheduling, just look to how hard it is and how hard they scheduled. And even last year too, I think we had the number one strength of schedule last year. We schedule hard to begin with. Sorry, we can't have everybody.
Maybe too hard. Maybe too hard. Well, that's a discussion for another day, but.
Nah, I don't think so. I like it. Well, so anyway, we still have the Indiana-Wichita State. Indiana could give Wichita State a game. A couple things about Indiana, we'll talk about them a little bit more going forward is, a lot of folks were thinking they weren't going to make it or they'd be on the bubble, but they're, safely in as a 10 seed. And they're kind of a weird matchup for Wichita State. And they kind of play, through their guards, except Indiana has a pretty prolific offense and not much of a defense. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that it's a complete Wichita State walkover in that first round against Indiana, but I'll be watching that game pretty closely come Friday. And just to finish out our road, through the Sweet 16, looks like Notre Dame is the three that could come out of the top part of that bracket. But who knows? Texas is still up there. There's some interesting teams. Butler, I could see any of those three teams coming out of that pod.
I agree. I actually struggled for a while trying to decide between Texas and Notre Dame in that game in the round of 32. I landed with Notre Dame, but I think that's going to be a really good game if it comes to that. That's assuming Texas beats Butler, which is who I picked, by the way. So there you go.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the bracket, just overall impressions. And I guess let's start with the Big 12. The Big 12 obviously gets KU as a 2 seed in the Midwest, but they also get three seeds. So yeah. Iowa State's a 3, Oklahoma's a 3, Baylor's a 3. Like you said before, in that top half of the Big 12 ends up being the top part of most brackets here.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's the question is for the Big 12 this year. You keep hearing everyone say Big 12 is the best conference in the country, Big 12 best conference. I'm not fighting that. I agree. I like to think so as well, but now we got to show it. Now we got to see some Big 12 teams make it past the round of 32. We got to see them get past the Sweet 16. I mean, there's no reason why the Big 12 shouldn't have, 3 teams or 4 teams in the Sweet 16. If they don't have 3 teams in the Sweet 16, then something went wrong between, all 4 brackets, all 4 regions having a Big 12 team in the top 3 seeds. So this is the year we got to see the Big 12 do something other than Kansas. So we'll see.
Just to close out the Big 12, West Virginia is a 5 seed and they're in the Midwest, just like us, with a looming matchup with Maryland or Kentucky down the road. Oklahoma State is a 9 seed and Texas, also in our bracket, as we mentioned before, is an 11 seed. Just a couple reactions, Kevin. I think that this is the first time in a long time, maybe since 2009, that people won't be picking KU pretty prolifically for the Final Four, even though they're a 2 seed. And that's because Kentucky's up there.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see many national media picking KU.
Someone show us if you find somebody that does that, because I literally think there will be 0.
Weird year for that. I mean, because you just have this monolith, the behemoth of Kentucky looming there.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were in a different bracket, I'd say a lot of people, or at least a handful, would pick us. But I don't think there'll be any of them this year. Can you remember? I mean, we're usually, Seth Davis or somebody will pick us to go through. Jay Billis will pick us. Won't happen this year.
No, it's not going to happen. That's why I said, if anyone, any of our listeners find some national writer that has KU, send us a tweet. We want to see that. Cause I don't think there's going to be anybody.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple other things. Want to pick a couple upsets. I know you've already filled out a bracket. I have not. Where are your upsets? Have you picked anything?
Let's see. I've got a couple 11s over sixes. I got BYU over Xavier. Like I said, Texas over Butler. The 12-5s are tough this year. The only one that really jumped out to me was Stephen F. Austin over Utah. I'm kind of going back and forth on that one.
I like Utah.
I know.
DeLon Wright's too good. I know Brett Underwood, K-State guy, leading this Lumberjack team. Utah's good.
And West Virginia, I was ready to pick to be the five that gets upset this year. Cause I thought they'd end up as a five, and they're playing Buffalo, who I don't see them losing to. So that was one I was waiting on. And then the other one's Wofford and Arkansas. I mean, as much as I really don't like Arkansas there very much, I think they'll beat Wofford. So the 12-5, Andrew, that's always the one, what is it? 36, the last 37 tournaments, a 12-5 has been upset. It might come down to, your boys out of Wyoming, Northern Iowa. You're the Wyoming buff. Is that the one we need to be picking?
That's the one I'm picking.
Uh-oh.
Got Larry Nance Jr., pride of, I don't know where he's from, but pride of Larry Nance Sr.'s loins. Larry Shyatt and the Cowboys, I think they're going to give UNI Panthers a run for their money up there in Seattle, Washington. You know, Wyoming, closer to Seattle. I don't know if they'll travel better, but at least there's something going for him. So watch out for this Cowboy team. They didn't make the tournament initially, or wouldn't have been picked as a bubble team because Larry Nance got mono in the middle of the season, dropped a couple games. But don't be surprised if this game is 35-36 score.
Yeah, it is.
Because neither of these teams score very well. They both are pretty slow, methodical defensive teams. I'm picking Wyoming over Northern Iowa. But just thinking back, I'm probably never going to pick Northern Iowa for anything.
Yep, that's fair.
A couple other ones. I think this is a tough year to identify because usually you've got those handful of upsets that you can pick out that are kind of like easy pickings. I don't see those this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Davidson, Iowa, that's a 10-7. I like Davidson there. But like I see a lot of 8-9s and 10-7s and 11-6s. Like I'm picking upsets in those games, but man, I'm not seeing any of the crazy upsets. You know, one's going to happen at some point. It's probably going to be, you know, like Purdue over Kentucky, you know, probably. I'm just throwing it out there.
All right, here's another question for you. This isn't necessarily the teams like you're rooting for other than KU, but when we're in Vegas this weekend and this game comes on, what are the teams that you're going to sit down and watch? Like, who are you excited to see?
Like the actual games or?
Yeah, yeah. Like teams that you maybe silently root for or root for outwardly.
Oregon, Oklahoma State's going to be a fun game. That's an 8-9 matchup. I've got Oregon because they can really score and, I think it'll be a fun game. Oregon, Oklahoma State. That'll be a fun one. I kind of like Oregon. I don't know why. I just kind of do. As far as other games that kind of jump out, a lot of the 10-7s are all good games. I think the Stephen F. Austin Utah game is going to be a good one. And then Iowa State UAB, Andrew. UAB, of course, Jared Haas's team. There's a 14-3 matchup for you. Never know. Jared Haas might get those floor burns going and never know what hit him.
Got that floor burn magic. Okay, do you want to pick a Final Four?
I mean, I did on this piece of paper, but you're not going to like it.
Okay, well, what is it?
Kentucky, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Duke.
So you're picking a 1, a 1, a 2, and a 1?
Yep.
No. Yeah.
I just think that there's been a separation all year of 4, 5, 6 teams over the rest of the field. And it felt like that a little bit in 08 when that happened. when all the ones made it there. I don't think all ones will make it there, but it's just, as I'm filling it out, it's just tough to pick against, you know, like Duke, Iowa State. I mean, I don't know. I think Okafor will just murder them. And they can't guard, so maybe it'll be a 95-90 game, but like that was a tough game for me. And Virginia, I think, will cruise. I like their setup as well. They do have a matchup potentially against Oklahoma, and that would be a fun Sweet 16 game. Virginia OU, because OU can really score, and Virginia's got such a good defense, and you know, plays that system. That'd be a fun game for Lon Kruger's boys. But I don't know. I think I'm gonna struggle to pick, you know, like a four seed making it to the tournament or to the Final Four this year.
Okay, I'm gonna go Kansas. Right. Ooh. You heard it. I've got to do it. That's how I do it. Right. I'm going to go Kansas, Wisconsin, so 2-1. And then I'm going to go Oklahoma. That's right. Coming out of the East region. And, man, I don't like anyone in the South region.
Zags?
Yeah, why not?
I have Iowa State beating Gonzaga. I don't know about that, but. I got it in there anyway. All right, Andrew.
Actually, I actually like that Gonzaga team. Like, they're not this like fluffy West Coast Conference team. They've got a lot of pros on that team. They just haven't, you know, had the most monster of a schedule. But I like that Gonzaga team. So, Kansas, Wisconsin, OU, Gonzaga.
All right, let's move on. This is poor podcasting. Sitting here talking about the bracket. Although, you know, this time of year, everyone wants to talk about their bracket, Andrew. It's like talking about your fantasy football team. You got anybody that'll listen to you to talk about your bracket. Just to let you know, I don't really care about your bracket. Although if you pick, like I said, you're picking Kansas to win, pick Kansas in Final Four, good for you. I hope you're right. I hope you're so right, Andrew, on that front. But let's get Mark Rudy in here. Let's talk about this New Mexico State matchup on Friday. Get his insight. We'll be back in one moment.
Mucky muck, castle made of clouds. There sits Wonder Boy, sitting no so.
All right, we are back and we are joined by Mark Rudy, the sports reporter for the Las Cruces Sun News. And he is here to talk with us about New Mexico State. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing really well. How are you guys?
Doing good. I understand you just got back from Vegas out there for the tournament. Now you're back, getting ready to cover this game, March Madness. What do you think of the draw there for New Mexico State in the first round?
I think it's a very tough draw. I think a lot of people are surprised at the seeding for one. A lot of people thought New Mexico State could get as high as a 13. I know Joe Lenardi had him up there this morning, actually, as a 13, and he dropped him to a 14. But since I've been on a plane most of today, I hadn't had a chance to check where he had him before the selection show. It's obviously a tough match. I mean, Kansas obviously, you know, won the regular season in what was the toughest, arguably the toughest conference in the nation this year. So we'll see. I mean, this is probably the best team. Actually, this is definitely the best team NMCU's played all season. It'll be Kansas.
You know, let's talk a little bit about how this team plays. It looks like they have got four guys that are over 6 foot tall or 6 foot eight. So is this a team that relies a lot on rebounding and scoring around the bucket?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, I think there were three of their five starters are 6'8 or taller. You got 6'8 Remy Berry at the three. He won't stay inside. He'll go out and he'll shoot the three. At one point during the year, I want to say in December or January, he led the nation in 3-point field goal percentage. And that's been really key for them. They needed that from that three position this year. Chalisi Napawe in the center at 6'10. He's a monster inside. He's played really, really well. He actually got second team all whack, and he's coming off a tournament MVP performance after he thought he should have made the first team. So he's definitely playing really well. And then you have 6'9 Pascal Siakam, who's just been the complete surprise of this team, coming off a redshirt year. Didn't know how good he was going to be, and he was the WAC freshman of the year this year. Thought he could get WAC player of the year. He is long. He's lean. He jumps out of the gym. Actually, he leads the conference in blocks. So he can definitely cause some havoc down there. And the other one is 7'3", Tanvir Bular. He doesn't really play that much, but I'm sure he'll probably get some playing time maybe.
You said 7'3"?
7'3", yep.
Nice.
If you remember correctly, his brother, Sim Bular, who's 7'5". He's currently with the Kings organization with the Reno Bighorns right now at the NBA DL. He played here at NMSU for 2 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so how do you guys play? I mean, how does New Mexico State play? What can we expect, in this matchup? KU struggles with pressure teams, struggles against length. Are we worried about either of those two things with New Mexico State?
I would say, as far as length, yes. Akeem, you're obviously familiar with, they played Baylor earlier in the year, and they struggled against their zone with the length. Now, also with that, they did not have their two best players in that game. They were injured. Both Chilling DePauli and Daniel Mullings were hurt for that game. But I know that was one where the length really struggled. There was the Baylor game. As far as pressure, yeah, this team is sometimes turnover prone. They've had about 20 turnovers, I think, 3 or 4 times this year. So if you pressure them, sometimes, you know, that can happen where they get the ball turned over in the backcourt. You can create points off them. As far as the strength of this team really prides itself on defense. I mean, I don't think they've given up more than 50 or 60 points in a while. Definitely in WAC play, they haven't. But, you know, they want to pressure you. They play this interesting zone look. I guess you could call it a 1-3-1 or a 2-3, but it looks almost like a 4-1 almost, where they have pretty much 4 guys on the perimeter. And then they might have 1 deep, but they will adjust if they had to. They kind of did that because there were some really good 3-point shooting teams in the WAC, like Utah Valley and Grand Canyon. They had to adjust to, but they've been playing it last 2 weeks. But that's definitely their strength is their defense. You know, trying to cause turnovers. They will pressure you definitely. They want to create some turnovers in the backcourt, get points in transition. And you know, every time I talk to them, you know, they've been real comfortable with their defense. They feel like they can play with anybody in the country with their defense.
Now, I know we're just a few moments removed from Selection Sunday, from the brackets being announced, but have you got a sense, maybe just from Twitter or from the folks that you've talked to, about, you know, what the mood is like around there? Do the fans around there like where they're at? Obviously, they were hoping for a better seed, but do they think they have a shot against KU, or what's kind of the mood going forward?
Just what I've looked on Twitter from the fans, yeah, obviously they're upset about the seeding. You know, they thought they should have got a higher seed, but looking at some of the other teams, especially UC Irvine getting a 13, that's a team that NMSU beat earlier in the year too. But as far as, you know, from the other fans, I really haven't had a chance to see what they thought about the matchup. Obviously, I think they realize it's tough from the players and the, coaches' standpoint. You know, they know it's tough. They haven't really had a chance to really delve into Kansas a whole lot. You know, they've watched a couple games as fans, but really haven't, you know, from a scouting perspective. But you know, they definitely want to try and, you know, shock the country and bust some brackets.
Fair enough. Well, hey, what is your prediction for this game?
You know, I don't really know much about Kansas, to be honest. I haven't watched, I don't think I've watched a single game from Kansas, to be a whole lot honest. For New Mexico, it's like, I don't know. I think it's definitely tougher than to pull off it, but I will say this. I mean, what, 2 of the last 3 years, we've seen a 15 pull off, 15 pull off a 2 upset. So, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, they're definitely going to have to play their best basketball of the year. Because I just mentioned, you know, Kansas is by far the best team they've played. The only team I would say is comparable to Wichita State, but I feel like Kansas is probably a better team. So, you know, and right there, I mean, yeah, I don't know if I have a prediction really at this point, but for them to keep it close, they'd have to really rely on their defense, I feel like. That's been what's been carrying them this past 2 months since conference play started.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it, Mark. We'll follow you on Twitter at mrudy19. Go out and follow Mark, and hopefully we can have a nice game here in just a few days.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Friday, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's coming up. We'll talk to you later, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Starting line. No problem. Thanks for having me. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes. The flags go up.
churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle.
All right, we are back. Thanks again to Mark for coming on and joining us on this very busy selection Sunday. I'm sure he's got 20 pieces he's got to write and get posted. So thank you for your time, Mark. All right, Andrew, I know we're going to knock on wood some more. All right, everybody knock on wood. Everyone at home, knock on your wood. Let's talk about the potential second round matchup with Wichita State and Indiana. And let's start with Wichita State, Andrew. This is, as you mentioned, kind of potentially one of the more underseeded teams in the country, or at least in the tournament as a 7. You know, they're 28-4. They went 17-1 in the conference, regular season champs. That's a pretty good 7 seed, at least to me on paper. Pretty good team on offense. They're really good defensively, efficient team. Of course, we know a lot of their guys, Ron Baker and Fred Van Fleet. And of course, last year they were that 1 seed that they got matched up with Kentucky and had a hell of a game to eventually lose. But man, this team is pretty good. 7 seed. What do you think about the Shockers?
Well, they're seeded a 7 seed based on resume, not necessarily based on how good they are. You know, and their resume is they only have 1 win against NCAA tournament teams, and that's Northern Iowa at home. And, you know, of course, they lost to Northern Iowa at Northern Iowa. So they've got 1 win against the field, and I think that that's what moved them down, even though they've got a 28-4 record on the season and went 17-1 in the conference. So, I mean, that's why. But that, what I just said, has nothing to do with how good that team is. That's just, you know, who they lost to. They didn't get by Utah. They lost in overtime. And didn't really get an opportunity to play anyone else. So, you know, this is a 7 seed that's not a 7 seed in terms of skill. This is a 7 seed that's, you know, a lot better than that. People, you know, in bracketology is you know, soon as a couple weeks ago, you know, had them as a 3, possibly a 2 if they would have beaten Northern Iowa, you know, if they would have won the tournament, what are they in the Missouri Valley tournament? So
Arch Madness
there in St. Louis. So this is going to be a game that a lot of people have been looking forward to. Obviously, the Wichita State fans will travel well up there to Omaha. You know, a couple matchup issues. You know, they're probably going to be a perimeter-oriented team with some jump shooters from the outside. Not an incredibly strong inside presence team, you know, with guys that, you know, aren't necessarily tall, and with Klee Anthony Early going to the Knicks last year. So that's going to be something, you know, we can talk about X's and O's, but no one wants to talk about X's and O's. Everybody wants to talk about KU Wichita State potential matchup. Haven't played each other in forever. Do you want to play Wichita State or do you want to play Indiana?
I would much rather play Indiana because I don't think they're very good. I watched them several times this year. Only because, obviously, coach is on the hot seat. We're talking about a team that may be missing the tournament. And I don't know. I was kind of surprised they made it in okay, especially as a 10 seed with a 20-13 record, 9-9 and a pretty crappy Big Ten. But, yeah, I would much rather play Indiana, only because I think they're not as good of a team as Wichita State. But then last year, of course, I would have said I wanted to play Stanford, and we saw how that ended up.
We did. And if you remember, on this very podcast, we had 3 guests on, one of them from each of the schools in the pod, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the Stanford guy was not optimistic at all. And completely resigned to getting demolished in that game. I didn't even think they would get by New Mexico. Obviously, things were a little different than he predicted and what we predicted.
He couldn't have been more dismissive of their chances to potentially win the first game and especially the second game. It's like he was so down on Stanford. So anyway, I'm glad we're not having those. We decided this year we're not doing a Wichita State and an Indiana guest because we blame him for doing a reverse jinx on us last year. So we're just previewing the first game with a guest. We'll just talk about the other one, so maybe that'll help.
You know, and if we put Wichita State, great. It's just another opportunity to prove, you know, how good this team is. And, you know, I think that this team, if they're hitting all cylinders, is one of the best in the country. And you know what? They're just in our way. That's all I got to say about Wichita State. Let's talk about Indiana a little bit. As I mentioned before, they were kind of on the bubble, or at least they thought they were, but didn't end up really being close to the bubble because they ended up with the 10 seed. They're 20-13 on the year. They went 9-9 in the Big Ten. A couple guys to pay attention to. Yogi Ferrell is probably the guy you've heard on that team. Leads the team in scoring at 16.1 points a game. They've got a pretty good freshman, Justin Blackman, who averages 15.8 points a game. Two guards, so it's going to be a guard-heavy offense. And, you know, they've got quite the offense. They're the 10th-ranked offense in KenPom, high tempo. They're just 216th in defense. I think that, you know, if you could make a maybe and correct me if I'm wrong, and if I could be wrong, but a comparison to how they play possibly to Iowa State, just not as effective, not as skilled as Iowa State. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's sort of fair. Yeah, I don't think their spacing is near as good as Iowa State's and stuff like that. I mean, their X's and O's aren't quite as good. I think that Iowa State's one of the better, you know, coach teams on the floor than in the country in terms of knowing exactly what they want to do and exactly where they want to be. But no, I think you're right. They do have two pretty solid scorers in Yogi Ferrell and James Blackman. We recruited Blackman. I remember doing a little write-up on him when we were after him at one point. Kind of he was a five-star guy. So yeah, we'll see. They, like you said, they can really score though. So that's kind of the high tempo, lots of possessions. I can see that as the comp for Iowa State. But I do feel good about it. If we do end up with them, I think our defense can really step up to them. Tom Crean, though, on the hot seat, potentially might need
to win.
Did
you call him Tom Crean? Tom Crean, right?
Tom Crean.
Okay, I thought you said Crean.
Crean? 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 Whatever.
Just making sure you're not going to get any crap on Twitter about his pronunciation.
Tom Crayon.
Tom Crown. Tom Crown.
Tom Crown.
Tom Crown, Big Indiana Tom basketball Crown. Couch.
Is a little bit on the hot seat, so we'll see. We'll see, but hopefully, I'd love to see them because I think that we match up well with them, and I think we'd win that game. So we shall see. Andrew, who do you want to see?
I think I want to see Wichita State, and I want to demolish them.
Do you want to see them because you want to see Wichita State, or do you think that it's a better matchup for KU?
Matchup wise, I think they're pretty similar. I think Wichita State's obviously more skilled. But matchup wise, I think that it's kind of a wash. You know, obviously if you're looking to play the easier team, you'd probably say Indiana, but I think that they've both got some, you know, high energy, elite skill sets that can give anybody trouble.
Fair enough. Well, Andrew, here's the deal. You and I, will be leaving this fine state of Kansas here in a few days to head to a sunny Las Vegas for the first round of the NCAA tournament. This is our, fifth or sixth, seventh year doing this in a row? I don't even remember. A lot in a row. It's a good place to be. If you guys are out there in Vegas, if a listener is out there in Vegas, shoot us a tweet. We'll let you know if we're going to be anywhere where you are, and maybe we can meet up and watch a KU game. It's a fun place to be, Andrew. We'll be watching a lot of our bets. We'll be watching our brackets, as I'm sure all of you will this week. Up on the next show, we'll still do one next Sunday, more than likely, assuming there's not a game going on right then or something. But we will try to do it next Sunday either way. Hopefully we'll be talking about maybe previewing a matchup in the Sweet 16 there against Texas. And not Notre Dame. And we'll have talked about how, you know, West Virginia knocked off Kentucky and they're on the other side of the bracket. So we'll see. But we will be back next week either way to talk about this team and hopefully continuing a run through this tournament. Andrew, is there any feedback or anything else that we need to get to before we get out of here?
Well, just a reminder to go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review and even subscribe on iTunes. It helps get the podcast out to other listeners, other Jayhawk fans who maybe don't know about us quite yet, don't know about our fantastic insight and our our hilarious humor. Yeah, so go ahead and give us a rating on iTunes. Preferably 5 stars. If not, whatever. Maybe just don't do it then. But let's read a review from our listener from this past week. This is from Michelin 17. Give us Michelin stars. This is what Michelin 17 is doing. As a listener and reader of all things Jayhawk related, I have to say that this podcast is my absolute favorite.
Hey.
They don't try too hard. Hey, we don't try too hard.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. These guys aren't afraid to cover good and the bad, but without being unnecessarily negative about KU. I appreciate the optimism because if we're being honest, KU fans are lucky and we should appreciate how good we have it. I think we should just dwell on that for a second.
Okay.
People are kind of, I don't know, it's every year, and this is just kind of how people react, is like, oh, our road is so hard or blah, blah, blah. You know, we're a 2 seed with a team that's, you know, one of the, like, 6th youngest in the country, with our top 3 recruit on the bench. Like, that's a pretty good season.
Yeah.
And a pretty good position. We've got it pretty good. Sometimes we just need to take a step back, realize that, you know, this team, no matter what happens this next week or 2 or 3, that's pretty special team. It's been a pretty special season, and I think that we should just take a moment and realize, you know, how good we do have it. Thanks, Michelin 17.
Thank you, Michelin 17, for the review. I agree with Michelin 17 and you. It's been a great year. It is, I think, you know, met most people's expectations for the season coming in. I think a lot of people had higher hopes, obviously, for Cliff Alexander and maybe even for Kelly Oubre and Perry Ellis. But I think that, you know, winning the 11th straight tournament, or sorry, 11th straight conference, season conference, and then also, as you mentioned, having a resume to get you to a 2 seed, even if it is the 2 seed in Kentucky's bracket, that's a pretty great year for anybody, and especially for KU standards. So I'm with you. Whatever happens, it's been a great year. But hopefully, Andrew, we can string a few wins together here, get hot at the right time. You and I did our part for the slump busting.
Relax, find inspiration, get excited.
There you go. So hopefully everyone else is doing their part, having their own seance or voodoo or whatever kind of thing you need to do. At one point before we get out of here, Andrew, you and I had actually more you than I had a hand in a video on YouTube called March Miracles. I wanted to get it out there that it was Andrew's kind of from his brain kind of put that to paper and had some friends get involved to shoot the video. It has like 20,000 views, Andrew. Good job on that. That's pretty awesome.
I don't know if it's quite 20,000 yet, but, you know, happy with how it came out. I guess we can close the show on this and just give a little background on it. Kind of had this idea for a while, but I don't know anything about filming or film in general. So I kind of put it to paper while I was watching the Pro Bowl a couple weeks ago. And I have a fraternity brother who does some film stuff. And I said, hey, I kind of put this together. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? And he said, yep. And he just did it. So he did a very good job. His name is Nick Malley. I think he's on Twitter now at Fog Films. So give him a follow. He wants to do some other film stuff about KU and KU sports in the future. So maybe he and I will work together again on that. Or maybe there'll be some kind of he'll do some other cool stuff. So give it a follow. It's kind of about KU superstitions and how weird we are and how weird fans are. If you go to Jayhawk Talk Twitter account, you'll see it posted a couple times, or on Fog Films, or just go to YouTube and search for March Miracles. It's the KU one. You'll be able to find it. But we had a lot of fun with it, and I'm really happy with how it came out.
I am too. I thought it was great. And hopefully, Andrew, we have our own March Miracles this year. Cheer hard on Friday, and hopefully on Sunday. Oh, I just knocked and it freaked my dog out.
She's just getting excited.
So there you go. It's okay. Let her bark. It's my fault. My wife's like, stop it. She's doing the podcast. All right, let's get out of here, Angie. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Get excited.
My dog is getting excited. And we'll catch you next Sunday, hopefully talking about a Sweet 16 vote for the Jayhawks. Rock and roll. For my Jayhawks, this for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, this for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them, every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.